Good morning. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the teleconference for the results of the fourth quarter of Grupo Mateus. We're going to have Mr. Ilson Mateus and Mr. José Morgado, the financial director with relationships for investor relationships. The participants will only be listening to the presentation, and then after this, we'll begin the session with questions and answers, where more information and instructions will be provided. If you need support during the conference, please do request the help of one of the operators with star zero. This teleconference will be conducted in Portuguese and translated into English. This event is also being transmitted simultaneously through the webcast. Before we continue, we would like to clarify that any disclosures that may be made during the presentation related to the business perspectives in the company and goals operationally and financially are the important beliefs and of the board, and as well as the information available in the company. So any kind of future considerations involve risks, uncertainties, and premises. These are future events and thus depend on circumstances that may or not happen. The investors may understand that the economic conditions and industrial conditions may affect the future results of the company and may lead to results that differ materially from those listed in future considerations. Now, we would like to pass on the word to the director and president that will begin the presentation. Mr. Wilson, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone. I want to start off our presentation talking about our expansion for 2020. We're really accelerating this, and we have consistent results. We've reached a record. And you're talking about slide four now. And we had a record of 39 new stores in 2020. It was very good. And it Maranhão, Pará, and Piauí. And then we also had our arrival in Piauí with excellent results. We had wholesale sales, and with this expansion from 2020, we reached a growth of gross revenue of 140%. Now, in regards to the construction of new stores, we also had excellent growth. We went from 24 stores opened in 2019 to 39 stores in 2020, and a robust growth of 63%. Then moving on, I brought, and we're talking about the slide number five, sorry. So in the first quarter of 2020, we opened up seven stores, and the second one, 10 stores, and the third one was eight stores. And in the fourth quarter, we had 14 stores, which is fruit of all of the planning we set up in the beginning of 2020. And with this, we already reached a new record, which was this first quarter of 2021, where we already opened up 11 new stores. I would like to show you a bit of the store formats. We set up the Super in Codó. We opened up a Superstore in Barcarena, and we opened up Eletro stores and Camino in Barreirinhas. And also, you can see this big mix store that also helped us a lot with the growth I showed you before. So we want to say that with all of these new store formats, we are bringing all of the necessary efforts with all of these different channels and stores so that we can reach the best results. Now, I want to show you the sustainable growth over the years from 2013 to 2020. We were able to reach a goal here that was very important of 22% on average. We went from 39 stores in 2013 to 159 stores in 2020. We were able to place 120 new stores in 7 years. And that's why we always mentioned in our roadshow that we had a plan with over 100 stores. And here I am presenting you our growth in same-store sales on the bottom. And these peaks are really related to the year when we open up new stores. And the next year we have a lot of growth because the stores grow a lot in the first and second year, which is why it's so important for us to maintain a growth standard of over 30 stores, because in the next years we will be able to really reach considerable growth, even with a high base. So here you can see our gross revenue from 2020, 14.4 billion. This is a growth of 45%. Compared to 2019, we had an EBITDA of 1 billion reais and 766 million in net revenue. Sorry, net income. And here you can see the stores contributing positively. And the importance of these new stores, as you can see, we have 23% of our revenue from the fourth quarter coming from stores that only had about a year since they were open. So 10% were already have the second year performance, and you can see how it contributes and grow and how they grow a lot. Here I'm talking about slide 7 now. And now I want to move on to slide 8. And so here I'm bringing you the gross revenue and the growth quarterly. As you can see, we've had an excellent result in the fourth quarter. We had growth compared to the previous year of 55% due to those 39 new stores we opened up, which had significant performance, and it really helped us to consolidate the market. Same store sales of 21%, and you can see on average, you reach these 45% growth annually. An 18% growth of same-store sales that we consider to be fantastic. And then here I have the growth per channel. And here I have some observations. But I want to show you the growth of our Atacarejo, their cash and carry, of 66%. And then our super brand, which is our retail, a service retail. And we've been growing 27%. With our wholesale operation, we've been growing 30%, and our electro is growing about 45%. And then here, you can see that we have the cherry on the cupcake, which is our e-commerce that's growing 222%. Even though it's on a low customer base still, we had significant growth, and now we're really betting on a lot of our investment in this channel for e-commerce, and we believe that this will be able to help us have like 300 to 400% growth per year. And another observation that's important that I want to highlight is our retail brand, service retail, and this channel is really going to be very important for the consolidation of our business. Now on slide 9, I'm bringing in some of the revenue per format, and you can see this separately. So our retail in the last quarter grew 45%, and there's a trend for this retail to grow a lot because we have a lot of new cities under construction within our expansion plan. Electro grew 60%. Our cash and carry grew 78%, and our external sales grew 24% with a wholesale operation. But even with this growth of 78% in cash and carry, we really believe in the retail. We think we will reach levels that are very similar as the cash and carry operation. And with this, we will be able to maintain our average results when it comes to margins. Now, moving on to the finances, I'm going to pass on the word to our financial director, Mr. José Morgado. Thank you very much, Matheus. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for participating in our results presentation for the fourth quarter of 2020. Before we get into the numbers, we would like to mention that up until 2019, Grupo Mateus had a policy of performing its adjustments and provisions in the last quarter of each year. Now, as we get into 2020, this policy to consolidate adjustments and provisions in the last quarter was modified so that we can be in line with the best market practices. Thus, the numbers that we present today were adjusted, enabling a better comparison per period. More specifically, we excluded the effects of adjustments and provisions that took place in the fourth quarter of 2019. And the non-recurring expenses we eliminated. So the numbers here presented do not consider the effect of IFRS 16. Having performed these initial remarks, we can move on to the details of our strong results. So, even amidst this challenging financial scenario that was important for a big part of last year, the Mateus Group had a record results, which is the fruit of an acceleration plan with the launch of 39 stores and excellent performance of the existing stores. As Matheus has already presented the numbers of the gross revenue, I think we can focus more on the other results, the other lines in our balance. So, in the last quarter of the previous year, we verified significant growth of 62% of the adjusted gross profit compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. We reached 854 million with a gross margin of 25.5%, which represents 1.3 percentage points growth compared to the last quarter of 2019. Then this increase compared to the margins in the fourth quarter was due to an improvement and between balancing out the regular special deals and the store launch deals. The adjusted EBITDA for the fourth quarter of 2020 went up and added up to 289 million, with very strong growth of 77% compared to the fourth quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA margin adjusted was of 7.9%, resulting in growth of 1.1 percentage points within the comparable periods. We can also state that the strong rhythm in the store launches and the maturity of the existing stores and added up to the improvements in the operational efficiency led to a greater dilution of the fixed costs, which make us comfortable knowing that our expansion plan is progressing with the level of efficiency we had planned for. Just as the other lines in the results, the adjusted net profit or net income in the fourth quarter of 2020 also had phenomenal growth. We grew 143% at this line, reaching 241 million compared to 99 million in the fourth quarter of 2019. The net adjusted income was of 6.6%, with an increase of 2.4 percentage points. Finally, we can look at the details of the CapEx. In the fourth quarter of 2020, we invested a total of 222 million, which represented an increase of 142% compared to the fourth quarter of 2019. Besides the new stores, we invested a lot in infrastructure, building new bakery and distribution centers. So these are crucial investments to be able to continue to respond to the strong growth of demand and also so that we can maintain the service delivery with a high standard of quality. As you can see in the graph, from 2020 on, we resumed the purchase of properties after the IPO. Most of the new stores will be our own land, and we have 17 stores under construction currently. which will be launched this year still. We can move on to the next slide, where you can see the demonstration of the financial performance. As we've already mentioned, the main lines in the previous slide, here we can talk about the income statement, and we can talk about the adjusted expense line in the fourth quarter of 2020, which represented, it added up to 601 million reais with a G&E and a marginal increase of 0.2 percentage points compared to the previous period. Although there was an increase in the last quarter of 2020, the expenses as a percentage of the net income and revenue had a drop of 2.10 percentage points per year. Another important point is the reduction of the gross debt that we adjusted and analyzed in slide 13. Here you can have a general vision of the company's debt situation. Here you have a general vision of the debt situation in the company. The company finished 2020 with 1.5 billion in liquid net cash, with 486 million by the end of 2019 compared. First, you have the income of resources with the IPO process and the amortization of about 700 million of loans from Finame and banks. And we reduced the debt situation by 35%, which demonstrates that the group is highly comfortable now to continue with its expansion plan. With this, I'm completing this event, this presentation about the financial results, and I'll pass on the word back to Mr. Matheus. Now I want to talk about our main pillars, which are technology, logistics, services, and people. Now, starting off with technology, I would like to give you a quick timeline here. So in 2017, we launched the app Canto do Chefe. This was an app to work with the transformational market, with hotels and restaurants, and we would also deliver to our stores. And this was the result of work we planned on for over 2 years. We started off this in 2015, and we considered at that time, after some trips that we where we traveled to China and other places, where we understood that this would be the future. And so we started really working on this to invest a lot, and this resulted in the launch of this app. And then in 2018, we already evolved. We had a discount app called Matheus App. And with this, we began increasing loyalty among many customers. In 2019, we launched our platform for e-commerce. And this generated a lot of visibility. We brought in a market technology. And now we're also developing our own platform, and we've reached very good results. Then in 2020, the beginning of the pandemic, we noticed this trend of people staying home. We brought in a startup that's very famous in the market, and then in record time, we brought in Ramon. He's the guy in charge of this startup, and we performed the integration in less than 15 days, and we had excellent results. This proves that we went from 7 million in 2017, and we went to 73 million here in 2020, where we had robust growth because we had a major search for this kind of solution with delivery, because we had important loyalty towards our app. And then on the right side, you can see our churn, where we launched the Matheus Bike, which is going to be incorporating all of these other apps. With a lot of news with this Matheus Mais on slide 16. So we've been working strongly on setting up a team. And
We brought a lot of people, specialists, and we are incorporating our team and integrating our team, and the results are what I'm going to show you up ahead. Here I'm bringing and the first B2C phase, and then we will start bringing in an app that's very user-friendly. And this is a fruit of a lot of research internally, so that we could launch this app that can really integrate the population we work with and the different age ranges, as well as people that are starting off with the online experience now. And so we think it's going to be an app that's going to be very easy and user-friendly. Besides delivery, that's already operating very well, we are also bringing in the Espaço Mais. Espaço Mais is like where we can work through this app with any of our stores, the Eletro or any other store. We can sell fruits and vegetables, meat, and also even in the Camino and cash and carry stores, we're going to be able to sell all of our Eletro products as well. So here we can also have the drive-through in some stores. We're going to have this kind of drive-through structure where people don't want the delivery, but they want to just go and pick up. And that's extremely important. Just want to remind you that we're on slide 16 now, okay? I had forgotten to tell you the number before. And here in the second semester, we have a big news, which is our B2B. We just implemented the B2C and we launched now on Monday this for our employees. And then on Monday, we will launch this to the external audience. And then we're already working with B2B. And what does this mean? It's an app we're going to be launching to work with customers that are registered through our commercial rep team. So we currently work with with 25,000 registered sales phones and over 2,000 sales reps, and we have over 300,000 orders picked up per month. And this app will substitute the sales force that we have currently with the commercial reps team. And this app will be able to be used by the client and all inside the stores. Also, the counter wholesale team will also be able to access this app. And the advantage is that we're going to provide a lot of incentives on these more than 2,000 commercial reps to really use the app and teach our clients to use the app and use this and create this kind of habit for consumption. So this is going to be a big leap that we're going to be starting in the next years. And then we have something else here that's new, which is the marketplace. It's being developed and we are working strong on this. We would like to bring in room for our partners and businesses and sellers that are currently registered. We are bringing in a complete solution for all categories with many partners and clients, and this will certainly bring in the necessary support for these small companies and businesses that want to perform online as well. And then here I'll bring in what I mentioned that was launched now in Monday with our cashback and our digital wallet, which had important adhesion. It really surprised us because suppliers were really, when we started talking about this, we had a lot of people interested in participating, and we the with different cashback solutions and options, and we're really betting on this and that this will lead to loyalty as well. So in the second semester, we're also bringing in our digital bank. So here we're going to be we had a very robust team with financial services, and with this digital bank, we're going to perform like cash out, deposits, credit card payments, insurance policies, credit card payments, and all the banking accessibility. Because we have people in the region in the north with people that are not included in the bank system.
And they're standing on queues to be able to pay their bills because they're not included in the bank system. And we want to bring these people into our stores, give them the comfort, and offer quality services to this huge volume of customers where we operate. And along with this, besides all of this information, right, we are also setting up a CRM system that's very robust. We have a base with over 1 million customers, and we want to increase this in 4 times more in the next months because we're going to have so much data and we're going to perform customized actions and identifying each of the customer's profile with personalized and customized actions. And with the support of the industry, we're going to have a lot of distributions of special gifts, tasting, gamifying, distribution of prizes. And with this, we believe that we're going to have a lot of loyalty increases, which is the main objective. So here you can see our work schedule. And we're going to have an e-commerce B2C ready. And our B2B e-commerce, which is in the oven. And in the second phase, the second semester, we hope that till the second semester, the end of the second semester, we'll have our marketplace and our digital bank with all the financial services added. And here, we are talking about our logistical pillar. And we spoke a lot about this during our roadshow with the routes and the densities. Because since we are a multi-channel company, we have the retail, cash and carry, electro brands, and our strategy is really the consolidation of these routes. And here I have a route from Pará, and that leaves from Maranhão, that leaves São Luís and goes all the way to Sobral and Ceará. And then you can see Changuá, Sobral, and Piripiri are new stores. Up until 2019, we did not have any revenue in this route. But in 2020, we had 306 million in this route. And with the new stores now, we're going to reach a revenue of at least 810 million reais. And then here I have another route that's really suffering a lot of going through a lot of density. And this is very good because it goes from Belém all the way to Marabá. So we're going to have new cities here, such as Moju, Camaté, Goianésia, Tucuruí, Repartimento, Itupiranga, with all of these new stores in red. And we're going to go from 264 million revenue into 456 million in 2020, reaching 1.2 billion in revenue. So this is our goal for these route. These are routes that are going to reduce operational costs and will take our margins up, and as well as our cost remissions in regards to logistics, because here the perishables have a very important role. When you have a route like this and you don't have any challenge with like all the perishable goods, bread, meat, and all of that. So here we have another example of a very strong route I wanted to show you. And here we have something very specific. It goes from Belém and Capanema. We didn't start this year. We're going to be launching Bragança as well. But we have stores in São Miguel, Paragominas, Ichinga. And half of this route will be supplied by our distribution center in Imperatriz. And the other half will be supplied by the Belém Distribution Center. So we have major growth here in this route. This is one of the routes that are really contributing to our increase in our gross revenue. So we went from 600 million, then in last year we had 858 million, and our goal for 2021 with all of the new stores is 1.5 billion, and everything is really calculated to be able to achieve this. We really believe we'll reach it. Then in the logistics pillar here, I want to show you on slide 24, the construction of our distribution center in Santa Isabel. It was built in November, and we're already, we didn't finish it yet, but we're already unloading and using it. We have 65,000 pallet positions, and this distribution center is what we're anticipating because this is what's going to support all of the greater density in the routes that we are working on in the state of Pará. Then here I give you our distribution center in São Luís with more expansion of 20,000 meters. We're performing one more expansion of another 20,000 meters because this distribution center has a specific factor because we think it's going to be a very strong pillar in our online sales. And here you can see that we're reaching 97,000 pallet positions. So just in this expansion, we have a huge increase in pallet positions. In this area, we have another project that's more of a broad project, and we're very excited about it. We're buying equipment in Germany with 10,000 square meters. We're going to have the next phase of this, where we're going to add on another 70,000 pallet positions in this distribution center in San Luis. And the idea is that it's going to be all like automated with robots, and it's going to have we're going to have less than one third of the necessary personnel just to operate these 97,000 pallet positions. So we're going to reduce our logistical costs, as I already have significant gains with greater route density and the automation of our distribution center as well, where we will also have major reduction in the operational costs and thus improve our EBITDA a lot better. And so that we can also supply small, medium, and big stores. And we are thinking about having a lot of speed. We really plan to have a lot of speed in all these different channels. So we are service retails. We have wholesale and cash and carry. But ever since we started, we didn't want to just bet on one option. So we really diversified our operation to have the sustainability of our business. And this sustainability is really based on the centralization of these services. And the bakery industry is a big example of this because we started off with a bakery industry that was just 1,000 square meters in 2016. Then 2 years later, we went to 4,000 square meters. And now we're launching 13,000 square meters. We've already started a production line of frozen bread, and we're going to have like the production of 105 tons of bread produced daily. And this increases productivity because we have cutting edge equipment. It's totally automated, and we're going to go from 600 kilos per hour with 54 people with over 5,000 kilos per hour with only 7 people working. And this will allow us to work with convenience stores, small franchises of bakeries. We're starting some partnerships with equipment suppliers where they will only place a little oven there in their store, and we can provide them with all of their products, which will consolidate our services and really strengthen the results, operationally speaking. Here you can see we have our sliced cold cuts industry and our fruits and vegetables distribution center as well. So you can see this industry that was another important step with sliced products and shelf life that's a lot better with a lot of quality in a countryside city. And here I want to show you the distribution center. This is another business opportunity that gives us a lot of support, and we know that the fruits and vegetables are one of the biggest generators of flow in a cash and carry and retail store. I'm showing you this photo here that has a little red ball where you see the San Luis Fruits and Vegetable Center, and this will service all of the route density, and we are working on the same distribution center as well in Belén that will work with all of the route density there. And with this, we'll have a significant reduction in the supply time and shipping. And with this, we believe we'll get into that virtuous cycle, right, where we have fruits and vegetables arriving at our stores almost every day in the small and big stores. And this is a big differential because our cash and carry stores are going to have fresh products every day. And also our cash and carry store has all of the services with retail because we can supply them every day. So we don't have a big challenge with ruptures because we have a lot of control over this. So just with freight costs, we're estimating that we're going to have savings with this structure that's ready of over 4 million reais. And with all of this, we believe that when this is all consolidated in 2022, we should certainly reach a record result here in our company. We are structuring this and working with the mid to long term, and we are really focused in the future. We have a big challenge with understanding, like, oh, we need to look at see our stocks going up, but we also think that this goes up with positive results. So we're focused on working in the long term, so we give the shareholders and investors a lot of comfort as they believe in our work. And here is people, another important pillar for us, because to have this kind of expansion with the amount of stores, if we don't have a really good base structure that can support this kind of training, we certainly wouldn't be successful. So in 2020, we trained over 600 leaders in our Mateus Leaders University. We had an investment of over 6 million in corporate education. But this year in 2021, we're basically doubling this because we're going to be investing a lot of money in this as well. And we had over 5,000 people hired and trained last year by our university. And then recently, as I mentioned, we're going to invest a lot more. We opened up a new base in Pará, in the south of Pará, with this structure so that it can really supply this kind of growth. And our main concern of not losing our DNA, because 100% of our store managers are trained internally, and our estimates are that we can really train an over 700 leaders, hiring over 6,000 new employees that are going to be trained and prepared by our university. And then about ESG, in regards to the environment, we always had a major concern with this, and we signed a contract with a company that produces wind power for 10 years, and now we have over 85% of our operations already using this, and we hope that we can reach close to 100%. So we have selection processes for all of our trash and waste and so we're really concerned with the environment as well, and then reusing any kind of inputs and waste. We have reverse logistics in regards to social aspects at this moment in the pandemic, where everyone needs to help each other. We built a special campaign hospital in San Luis with over 80 beds, with the ICUs even. And another important point is that 40% of our leadership are women, and so this brings in very good results because we have a lot of specialists that are very much focused. And then when we think about governance, we created important committees for our business, digital strategy committee, where we're really investing a lot. We created a committee for financial services that is extremely important for our future, as well as expansion, a crisis committee. We have a strong crisis committee so that we can work with a lot more speed. And amidst all of this governance, we really demonstrated improvements in our rating that's so important for our business as well. And then finally, on slide 29, you can see our numbers of stores this year. We have 17 stores under construction. We have 11 stores under that are being finished. And even with the rigor of the rain period, we are being able to finish these stores. We already had over 11 stores launched this year. And I brought a store, an image of the cash and carry store in Teresina that really helped us increase the gross revenue. These stores are extremely important. Although we do have intense competition from all of our competitors in Teresina, we opened up a new store, and we didn't lose any kind of sales compared to the other store we have there. And we had growth of 100% with this store in Teresina. And here, our forecast for 2021 is over 40 stores, trying to reach the same results. And that's why we're working on this structure with the HR of our university so that we can maintain our DNA and in the next 40 stores next year, another 40. So now I finished my presentation. I want to open up to questions and answers. Now we're going to begin the Q&A session. If you have any question, please click on star 1 on your phone. If at any moment your question is answered, select star 2 to remove yourself from the queue. The answers will be provided as the questions are received. Please pick up your phone when you perform your questions so you can ensure the best quality in the sound. Our first question comes from Elena Villares from Itaú. Please, Elena, you may continue. Thank you for answering my question. Good morning, everyone. My first question is related to the competitive environment, and I think it would be very important if you could give us a little more details on how you've seen the evolution of the competitive advantage, for good or for bad, right? So the fact that maybe you're in an environment where the informal player is a little more fragile or bigger competitors coming. So maybe this is one of the main points we wanted to understand. And the second point we want to understand is that your margins really still expanding amidst this challenging environment. And what we wanted to understand is that this expansion of the gross margin, as you mentioned, has to do with the greater balance of the special deals. But if you could give us more details, like, oh, maybe we're providing more information, more the use of data. If you could give us a little more details on how this is going to be evolving up ahead, that would be really good. Well, in regard to the competitive environment, we've seen major movement in our market in the last week. But we are extremely comfortable because in the region we operate in, we have major opportunities. We're really comfortable with our expansion plan since we're multi-channel operators. We see a lot of competitors growing a lot in the cash and carry segment, but we want to grow in a standard way in all of our channels. Now we have a lot of cities where we can open up new stores still, and we don't have this national competition factor, so we're really moving quickly to take advantage of this space. The margin is the fruit of the consolidation of our business, so really the consolidation of all these pillars. So the set of structures that we are building will help our margin be really connected to this. So we know competition is going to be very intense. I've received many questions about, like, oh, how are you taking a look at the Corona voucher changes or without Corona voucher? But we had promised and calculated that our gross revenue for new stores this year would be only 23%. But then we had a positive surprise because we're growing above 30%. And this proves that even without Corona voucher, we are really performing very well. And margin is a balancing out of these channels. So we're going to really focus on operational costs, and we hope that all of this consolidated next year will have results that are infinitely better. Thank you very much. Very clear. Our next question comes from Guilherme Assis from Banco Safra. Please, Guilherme, you may continue. Hello. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for answering my question. Well, moving along in this topic of question of sales, and you just mentioned that sales are growing above 30%. This really seems to be a result from your efforts and different store openings and launches. But there's also a food inflation component here. You know, in the fourth quarter with same store sales, it was 20%, just to round it off. And I believe that food inflation was about 18% back then. But now that we don't have a crystal ball, right? But we expect that this inflation, food inflation pressure will start reducing a bit throughout the year. Do you think this could impact your sales? That's a question. And then the second question is kind of moving along with competition as well. I wanted to understand, like, you guys are going to come into Ceará this year. Like, now you guys are getting a little closer to there, right? You're getting closer to Grupo Bigi. Maybe you have some overlapping with you already, but that's still a little limited at the moment. But how are you preparing for this kind of a merger with Carrefour and a situation where the Bom Preço or Grupo Bigi in the Northeast is stronger? So what are you going to do? Are you going to do more special deals? What should we imagine has impacts in your results? Do you think you have a little margin to use? Do you think that could impact the expansion plan and in your results, especially to Ceará? About your first question, about the growth and the inflation. Well, first of all, we had already had a deflation in many categories. Actually, we had a problem in the beginning of the year because we started off, it's normal that every year, for example, we'll have an inventory for sales in January and February because industries normally have like recess in the end of the year and beginning of the year, and they only start producing again normally in the second half of January. So we normally prepare so that we can have strong sales there in January and February. This year we had a lot of categories with prices dropping a lot, like rice, soy, oil, milk. And then we caught an average cost that was a bit higher. And so we had a challenge to increase our margins in the first 2 months, but we already balanced this out. And even with a reduction in the inflation, we are still growing above 30. So we believe that we'll keep looking at the market. And always, ever since 86, when we started our first store, all of the crises are studied carefully. But we never want to stop performing investments. And we need to really reach these big numbers. And in regards to competition, we are very comfortable in Ceará. We have an aspect of the fiscal benefits there because they have a certification that we're not able to reach there. But we're going to continue working. We are opening up 2 stores there. We want to learn a lot. But we're studying the Northeast as a whole. And we have a team that's really focused on the tax situation there. And we think that the same strategy we're using will help us to take this strategy to other places because we really believe this will take us to other levels of success. And in regards to Bigi, we've seen this movement. He's our competitor. We respect them. But once again, where we're going to be operating, they're already present, and we already competed with them. Of course, they will be a player that maybe might operate a little better, but we've already disputed with them in different situations in the cities where they're present. So yes, it's competitor. We're going to look at them, but we're going to continue to perform our work without worrying too much and without thinking that they're going to kill us because the market's so big and we have a lot of opportunities, and whoever moves quicker will arrive first. All right. If you could maybe answer a last question here. You are highlighting the plan of opening up 40 stores for 2021. We already have 17 under construction, and we've already mentioned that you're going to be accelerating the search and purchase of land to ensure this expansion. So you guys committed during the IPO to a very aggressive expansion plan. You guys are delivering this, but are you still comfortable with that growth of in the more to short, mid to long term that you guys were talking about during the IPO process in the second semester last year? Yeah, we're still comfortable.
We have a lot of opportunities, and we restructured all of our engineering team. We reinforced this team to be able to support this kind of growth so that we can build stores with quality that don't require so much maintenance in the future. A lot of people ask us, like, oh, are you going to perform some acquisition? Well, we could perform an acquisition, but we really believe in organic growth. And we build stores with our standard, the new formats we need. We have a team really thinking about how we're going to operate these stores better, where we're headed. So we're really focused on this. And this is what gives us a big opportunity, because we have a structure currently that already has been around 35 years. And we've been investing and learning a lot about it. Every year we're learning a new way to work. And that's how life keeps on, right? We're always learning. Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Russell. Our next question comes from Daniela from XP Investimentos. Daniela, you may continue. Good morning, José and Mr. Wilson, and thank you for answering my question. I have some questions that are kind of in line with some of the previously made questions. Wilson, you mentioned you prefer organic growth, but we've seen in a local newspaper in Ceará that maybe there was rumors that you guys would be assessing the acquisition of a local chain to be able to facilitate your participation in the city and state. Would you try in this way in some regions where you have bigger challenges to ensure some POSs that have a quicker maturity since the consumers already understand it and understanding a little more of the consumer, or would that not make too much sense? And then another question is about the 30%. Is that total sales? Because are you noticing some sort of impact that's more relevant in some categories, such as electro? How are you looking at this dynamic for sales on the first quarter? And another one is about profitability. You mentioned about the gross margins and how this would affect your expansion, but there's in the EBITDA margin, and you mentioned different strategies that can already help with the optimization of the logistical costs and operational expenses. We want to understand how this would balance out your future expansion plan. And of course, this would be translated an important gain as you scale up throughout time. So how are you looking at this EBITDA margin dynamic? And maybe a last point is maybe about digital. You guys seem to have a very interesting leverage there. And so maybe you could talk about a little more details about how you've noticed adherence from consumers, because in the region, the penetration of digital is more challenging, right, than in the Southeast. So how have you looked at this adoption of consumers in the digital environment, and also what categories you're thinking of operating within the marketplace? Thank you, and sorry for so many questions. Good morning, Daniela. Let me make sure I've captured all of your questions. About organic growth, you mentioned the possibility of acquisitions. I really believe in organic growth, and I always defend this in the company. So what we do is cheaper and easier and consistent. But can I perform an acquisition? Yes, I can. If this is for a good deal or a good option, but I would never place at risk a structure and a group of stores that I'm operating, including a structure that's bad. So we are going to assess this. Business is business. We really want to grow, but we want to grow in a sustainable way, preserving the results, which is what our shareholders expect. And then we are comfortable with the growth. We had a goal of growing 20% and a deflation of negative growth rate. However, we've noticed that even without the Corona voucher, this did not happen. We had growth above 30, and this is a lot
because of net new stores. And as I mentioned previously, next year with the consolidation of our logistics and the consolidation of many stores with the growth of over 30 stores per year. So we're going to have a lot of stores reaching maturity every year. And then in regards to some product categories, we did have a lot of challenges in beverage categories and schooling material, where we're very strong because we didn't have this kind of seasonality. So we lost a few sales. But even so, we had some categories that helped balance this out. In regards to the digital world, we consider that this is really the future. And we're working on strong investments in this. We have a team that's very robust with a lot of news, and not only in digital, but also financial services, where we think these two will walk hand in hand. So with this structure and financial services, we are, well, as I mentioned, we operate in a region that is still not, has a lot of people that are not included in the bank system formally. So we want to attract these people and bring them into our stores. So digital is the focus. We want to take on a lot of leaps here up ahead. We'll have a growth of over 200%. And so with all of these initiatives, we do hope to really achieve positive results. I hope to have answered your questions. Yes, I think you answered everything. Thank you so much, Mr. Wilson. Our next question comes from Ruben Couto from Santander. Ruben, you may continue. Well, good morning, everyone. Most of my questions were already answered, but it's just a follow-up about the opening of this distribution center. The expansion for Ceará does not rely on the opening, and you guys are discussing the benefits. Are these things that other companies in the sector also benefit from in this state, or would this be something different? And if you guys are not able to have this kind of benefit, fiscal benefit, would it be a situation where you would still open up the distribution center regardless? And another question also is about when you mentioned the concept of route density, the stores that you are opening up, especially from Belém to Marambá, are these stores going to be more like for Eletro, Super? Could you maybe talk about this density, if it's still really focused on Eletro and Camino? Thank you. Well, good morning, Holdings. I'm trying to write down the last question about the route density with the channels. And in regards to our opening of the distribution center in Ceará, we are studying a lot about this, and we have two stores that are being built, one in Changuá and another one in Sobral in Ceará. That's close to Fortaleza. And we are studying how to work on this distribution center, because there's a war kind of, and there's a benefit, but we haven't been able to benefit from it yet. And this kind of benefit they have there, we are trying to have the same benefit that other players already have. And the benefit there says the following. It says, look, if you open up a distribution center and you operate 50% of your volume for your own stores, you have to have 50% for the sales and wholesale. So in the beginning, since we're going to be stronger with the stores, what was our focus? That they would grant at least it so that I can sell at least 80% for my own stores, until I can actually create a big team for commercial reps, because I can't do this in the first year. It takes a while. And I wouldn't risk taking on the commitment of selling 50% of them if I don't sell that through wholesale, and then I'm going to have a fiscal liability or fine. So we took two steps backwards and we're restudying this, but we don't want to have anything better than any other person. We want to just be competitive, because we believe in our policy and our strategy. And that's why, even without the benefit, we're not giving up on SERA. We're going to continue to work. And in 35 years, nothing was ever easy for us. We always struggled. And we're going to continue to support these different efforts. And now we are not going to give up. And then in regards to the roots and density, since our with our business, we really believe, as I mentioned in the presentation, that we are not going to be betting on a single option, which is why we've had many store models. We have a store that can have like 800 or 700 meters in a city with 25,000 inhabitants, and this store increases its size according to the surveys and the research and the size of the sales. So we grow from 1,300, 1,500 square meters, and so on, which is very much based on what we're going to be selling in the store. So we try to create a customized structure because our logistical support structure is going to supply these stores. So we set up two stores in Maranhão, and we were estimating that we'd make about 4 million. But to our surprise, we're going to make over 6 million revenue. So it's a small city that has a volume of revenue that's just waiting for us to arrive. And we really want to consolidate our roots and opening up these roots and stores that will add up to our results, which is why we are estimating that we're still going to have strong profitability. I hope to have answered your questions. Yes, you did. Thank you so much, Mr. Wilson. To submit new questions, just type in star one. Once again, if you have any questions, please type in star one. Since we do not have more questions, we have finished our session with questions and answers here. Now I'll pass on the word to Mr. Wilson for his last remarks. Please, Mr. Wilson, I want to thank you all for your presence and your time listening to our presentation. And I wanted to say that I would like you to continue to believe in us. We're working hard, and our commitment with the results are very strong. And we want to deliver what we committed to, because here our main focus is work, 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 work. So once again, thank you very much, everyone. Teleconference is ended. Thank you very much for all of your participation, and have a great day.